It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about the season 3 premiere of Shit's Creek, opening night. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who just absolutely pines for pine cones. Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm really good. We're at season 3.
It's the one.
I'm so, so happy to be here tackling the cones. Let's do this. I've been waiting, 2+ weeks to watch this episode?
This is the downside of doing a like season wrap up is that it delays your enjoyment of the following season even more.
Yeah. I can't binge. Like, everyone who is watching along with us is like, oh, just casually, or you even did this to me the other day. I'll just casually started watching season 3 again. I'm just like, hey, thanks. Yeah, I've been able to watch one episode and I had to hit pause.
I think I've watched 4 episodes already. Because it really is when I, okay, so this is my process. I have, okay, for those who don't know, I have like semi-diagnosed ADHD. I call it semi-diagnosed because the doctor is like, well, it's likely you have it. And I'm like, that is helpful. I'm so glad it mirrors all the same symptoms of anxiety. Perfect. Love that for me. But my problem is when I go to bed, my brain doesn't stop. It doesn't quiet, you know, for the most part. And so I usually like to put on something, some sort of show that I'm very familiar with as a way to fall asleep. I think it's a very common thing for most people. And Schitt's Creek is like usually a good option for me because I've seen it already. I'm not going to miss anything if I like fall asleep during an episode. And I also feel like there's a tiny bit of like, not osmosis, but like my memory is so poor. I feel like by putting it on while I'm falling asleep, extra stuff gets retained in my brain somehow. Is there a science behind this? Probably not, but it feels true.
I tried that for studying for an exam once where I did record my notes and listen to them while I slept. No. Well, admittedly, I did it the night before the exam. So maybe if I did it weeks before, like let it kind of seep in. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that necessarily works. I love the idea of like partially diagnosing something, being like, oh, you probably have something. You probably got a broken leg. We should probably put it in plaster. Like, what?
This is the problem with like mental health, right? Is like you can't always see it. And so they're like, well, you basically, it was like you either are unlikely to have it, likely or very likely. And all because the symptoms are so similar to anxiety, which I definitely have, it was more of like, you might. I'm like, great, thanks. Well, I've lived with it for 30 something years. I'll just keep on keeping on, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way to deal with it. Just don't address it. Just deal with
it. Yeah. Fine. But yeah, we're at the beginning of season 3, a really incredible season, a turning point for a lot of people for this show. And I am just so, so thrilled to be back with season 3 of the show. It's incredible. I think just from this first episode already, Stuart, like some of the qualms we had with season 2, like Stevie is here. Stevie actively has a storyline. So exciting. I mean, I'm burying the lead here, but Mutt's leaving town. Mutt is leaving town, baby. Like, who is more excited than me? No one.
It came out of nowhere as well. Mm-hmm. Like, just casually mentions it. And I'm just like, bringing him for one episode. I'm skeptical as to whether or not this is gonna stick, but I mean, we'll see how it goes. We'll see.
I will not spoil anything, but before we dive too far down into this episode, don't forget, subscribe, Talking Shit everywhere, follow us on YouTube at Talking Shit, email us if you want to send us in feedback, podcast@talkingshit.com. new season, we want to get some new listeners, so that is all of that stuff out of the way. Are we ready to get into the recap of the premiere?
Oh my
gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, so it is opening night for town council. And unfortunately for Moira, her new job on town council isn't as glamorous as she was hoping. She wants applause, recognition, but instead she's met with roadblocks and a lack of town funds. And she's not the only one having a bad week, because Johnny lost his office, if you will, in Bob's garage. And he's been replaced by Bob's scamming nephew. And Johnny decides he's going to drown his sorrows in the cafe's olive jar, which are actually just martinis. Lots and lots of martinis. David has a new boy toy, Jake. He did make a reappearance, Stuart. But apparently, Stevie is also dating him. And they both think he's trying to deceive them. But no, he's just modern. He likes all the types of wine. And he doesn't mind dabbling in the dating pool with the both of them. And they both feel like a little bit embarrassed that they're not more modern about this entire concept. And lastly, of course, we're all celebrating Mutt leaving town because he's going to, let me check my notes real quick. He's going to forage for pine cones. So
dumb. You know,
this is good. You know, he's going to go pine coning. And shouts to Ted for that incredible pining pun. Just 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Love Ted. Anyway, Mutt asks Alexis to look after his plants while he's gone. But the entire situation is so freaking awkward with Tennessee, Tallahassee, whatever her face is, that Alexis is like, absolutely not. I will not be watering a single plant in that barn. And that was our episode, Stuart.
So much going on already. Like, out of nowhere, I was thinking we're going to like maybe ease in, set up whatever the storyline's going to be. And they're like, bam, bam, here you go. Here's some plot. Mm-hmm. Really good. Some solid, great stuff across the board. I think like we've got scandal, we've got comedy, we've got some heartfelt kind of like Johnny kind of feeling like he's the one in the family letting everyone down. A mix of everything. Love this episode. Loved it. And I didn't think I would. I thought I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe it's just a bit of the same old of just easing in. No, they came out swinging for this one.
Yeah, and you're so right. They really did. I feel like they're setting up a lot in this premiere. I really love what they did with Johnny, where it's a culmination of kind of all of this happening, where he feels like he's constantly letting his family down. The conversation with, I already forgot her name, but I know she annoys me. I watched Amy Grace. So many times. Amy Grace, thank you. No, yeah. Actually, it's Amy Grace. Fuck off with that. I'm so sorry. Yeah. If you are a person who's like, actually, it's Anne Elizabeth. It's like, well, yell at your parents for giving you two freaking names. Like, don't be annoying about it. Like, truly, I don't know why it annoyed me so much, but I found, maybe it's because Screamnastics is so stupid that I was just really irritated with her in general.
I mean, I would be angry about the whole Screamnastics of it all if it didn't set up Johnny to mention the Screamnasium, which I was crying with laughter at because I didn't expect it in the moment because he was really kind of downtrodden. And he comes up with that and she's like, no, we don't call them that. And I was like, oh, yeah. You horrible person.
She's terrible. But I'm sorry, you didn't like the Screamnastic inner outer beauty connectivity?
Or the extreme juicing?
Extreme juicing. She's like carrying this like gross green beverage. I understand people like to do this, right? Like this is this feels like a very LA thing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the green juice and oh, this healthy and like matcha, whatever, which I
got my kale smoothie.
I think it's too late to admit that I don't understand what matcha is, but I don't understand what matcha is and why people are obsessed with it. Like I understand it's like some green powder. Is it a tea? Is it a coffee? What is it? And why is it green?
You know, I couldn't actually tell you with confidence what it is. Can make tea and just tastes and smells of grass.
That's what it's... Okay. Every time I see someone on TikTok, they have these little, like, almost like a mortar and pestle, but it's not... I don't know which one is which in the mortar and pestle. Which one is the... one is the bowl and one is the little hard device. The hard device is instead switched out... Which one is which,
with
right?
With the weird little like
whiskey thing. It's like
whiskey
a
thing,
like a bamboo whiskey thing, and you fluff up the matcha, And yeah. like, then you put it, you put flavors or something in it. And every time they're like, tastes so good. But you're saying it tastes like grass? Like, why would I want that?
So I just Google it. Apparently it's just powdered green tea.
So what the hell is wrong with people? Why is everyone so obsessed with matcha? I don't understand this. I truly don't. I don't understand it. Like, I understand I don't live in like LA or like New York City or somewhere with like all these fads and stuff, but life is too short, people, to drink things that taste like grass. I don't care if they're healthy. I'll drink water before I'll drink grass drink.
You're not cows. You don't eat or drink grass. Just stop it, people.
Stop it. Yeah.
Stop it.
But yeah, he has his
So we've alienated today so far people with two names and matcha lovers. Wonderful.
And probably anyone who lives in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about it.
If you're in LA, reach out to us. We'll apologize.
Sorry about it. But yeah, so he's disappointed because not only does he no longer have an office, but this whole meeting with Amy Grace doesn't go very well. And so instead he gets super drunk at the cafe, has to be brought home by Jocelyn. And I love Moira's reaction of, you smell like my mother.
That's so adorable. And I love the, like, I love the fact that he's, like, Johnny's drunk persona is just a kind of, like, tired, kind of, like, silly face. And he's undone one button on his, like, suit. And I was like, Johnny, that's... You're holding up actually not too bad considering, like, I'm a mess when I'm drunk.
Oh, yeah. He's the most put together drunk I've ever seen. But he's very emotional because, and we kind of talked about this at the end of last season where Alexis has a job, David has 40 grand in the bank, Moira's on town council. What does Johnny have going on? You know, like, where's Bob's Bagels? Come on now. And I love Moira trying to prop him back up and saying, you're the one holding this family together. You're a good man, John Rose, and good men always win. I love this. I think that, like, it's really nice to see Moira propping Johnny up. I think a lot of times we see Johnny being the one to prop others up. And so I felt like he was kind of owed this moment of being able to be a little bit sloppy and someone else being like, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right, Johnny.
Yeah, I love that no one was really, like, fully judging him. Maybe the kids through the wall when they're like, has he thrown up yet?
The next morning was everything. Like, oh, I'll take fish. I'll just take a lukewarm bowl of hollandaise sauce.
Yeah, just a big fish. And I love that Twyla is so not, like, kind of put out by this, as if this is the most normal thing. Well, maybe she kind of reacts a little bit, but, like, doesn't seem to think that it's the weird disorder at all, and just goes for it. But I love that also, like, alongside sticking up for him, Moira's just like, find a spot in the wall and just stare at it if you need to. She still jumps in on it as well.
You know he's in a bad way. So good. So yeah, Johnny's really struggling, but Moira really isn't having the best time either, because I love her referring to town council as opening night. I think it exactly defines how she sees this town council as a stage for her. And the amount of times that I have texted you, like, homeless toddlers, like, I can't get past tugging at your pant legs. So good. It is so funny. I love Moira on town council. This is just the beginning. Again, Stuart, I will say, if you watched Parks and Rec, it would give you a little bit of the same vibe. There's a lot of, like, town council-y sort of stuff, but a lot of it is more focused on the insanity of the people that live in that town and their requests. But Moira, I love this isn't a theater, isn't it? It's just, it's perfect.
She kind of understands it perfectly. Because, I mean, politics is, in a way, theater. Like, you are kind of performing to people, you are kind of telling untruths as part of it. But this is such a great venue for all of her kind of Moirisms, like giving her a way to perform in a way, but then also kind of grandstand and take the spotlight. Like, just the lines that she delivers as part of this, like, vivacity aside, our children's safety is no laughing matter. Like, Who is this woman? Like, how is she allowed out to be this fabulous in public? Like, who allowed this?
Yeah.
It's wonderful. The outfit as well, like, turning up and then the also hat. Judging everyone as well. Like, and Roddy's like, oh, you're saying that we didn't dress up for this? I love it. It's just everything I wanted. It's conflict with Roland. It's kind of possible, like, kind of conflict with Bob. And I think it's mostly conflict with Ronnie. And I think the two of them are going to butt heads. And I think it's going to be wonderful.
It's perfect because it is, it's everything we've been asking for in terms of Moira gets to be Moira and the world is a stage for her. But we're also getting a lot more from these side characters like Ronnie, Bob, and Roland. We get so many funny moments from Bob this episode. Obviously, the nephew moment where he's like, hey, fix my computer without even seeing it. Like, just 10 out of 10. I love ignorant, naive Bob. And the fact that he needs to ask for permission to use the bathroom says everything you need to know about who Bob is. He's a grown man and he needs permission to go to the bathroom. It's everything. Oh,
Gwen, if she has to deal with that.
Exactly.
God. Dealing with this man child. It's like, can I go to the bathroom?
You really have to go. It's absolutely perfect. So Moira's really, Moira's really having a time of it at town council because she thought she really did want to make a change, right? I think mostly she wanted an audience, but she gets told very quickly by Ronnie, You made this mistake. You're going to be the one to correct it. You can't just promise people things because we don't have the budget for that. Yeah. And so they all get the answer of, we'll look into it, which is just, you don't want to hear that.
You don't. But there are like practicalities. I'm guessing the town council doesn't have the money to like pay for this. So where's it going to come from? Moira's got to accept that this stage and this spotlight comes with responsibility and she's got to learn how to handle that. Now, can she navigate it in a better way than what Roland does, which is just to say, we'll think about it for everything because he's become jaded? Like, that hunger that she's got as a new incumbent is going to hopefully battle against that from Roland, but she also does have to wise up as well. And she's got to kind of like take it seriously. Otherwise, she will become a bit of a joke on the town council, which is a possibility after what we've seen in this episode. But absolutely, just absolutely what? Absolutely. And then just hit the gavel.
So good. She's so quotable this episode. I homeless toddlers. I just can't. Just waiting for a dust covered stranger. It's perfect. Who do you want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about Mutt leaving town and everything going on with Alexis, or do you want to focus on the emerging thruple that we have here?
Let's go into the scandal, the thruple, because I messaged you, I think, as I was watching. Like I didn't even have to explain it. I just all caps. Oh my God. God, and this was like a couple of minutes after we had stopped recording the podcast last week because I was finally free to watch it. I did not see this coming, and I, in hindsight, am a fool for it because we should have been taking, well, I say I should have been taking Stevie seriously. Stevie was right. He was cracking onto her, and they did have a little thing going, which is unbelievable. Now, here's the thing that I am curious about. Who do you think is in this situation of people not knowing? Who do you think is in the wrong? And why is it Jake?
Yeah, I do think this is something you want to at least have a conversation about. I'm a very, in any relationship I've ever had, I'm a very communicative person. I know, it's so hard to believe I talk a lot. But I always feel like better to over communicate than to under communicate. And I feel like maybe it's fine if you, I don't think you need to have a conversation if you're just dating around, right? If you're like, I'll date David and I'm seeing other people. We don't have a commitment to each other. We don't have labels on things. We're not, you know, monogamous. However, if you're going to date someone who, you know, at least lives in the same building as like another person you're dating, or is friends. I don't know if he knows how close they are. Like, who knows if he knows their relationship to one another. But if they're in the same motel, I think you probably need to at least say, hey, by the way, I'm also dating this person. But it's very obvious, Stuart, that he wasn't trying to hide it. I mean, he kisses both of them in front of the other one.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I don't think anything about it is necessarily malicious. I just think it's quite ignorant to people's feelings. Because I think the default expectation for a relationship is perhaps a monogamous one. And is certainly their expectations of this. And I think a non-monogamous relationship, while perfectly normal and acceptable, should be something that is communicated to all parties involved to make sure that they are all happy with it. Because as Stevie said, you don't know if they're getting his sloppy thirds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, who knows who else he's dating? Like, how many other people is he dating? Which, again, might be fine by Stevie and David. I think where the weirdness comes into play is that he's dating the both of them. Mm-hmm. And that not just that he's dating the both of them, but that they've both slept with him within like 24 hours of one another. Like, it's just kind of weird because they've also slept with each other. And maybe that's where it gets like extra weird, is because they're not just friends who are dating the same person, but they're friends who've previously slept together who are now dating the same person. And it's all a little too incestuous.
Yeah, it's while they're trying to establish this boundary that they have like drawn a line under, kind of what they've tried and it not working, and then to introduce this is chaotic. Because how do you navigate this? Like, in a way, they're in a relationship, well, not necessarily with each other, but they are attached. And this is something that they have said and confirmed that, no, this isn't something that we want to explore anymore. And now they're kind of getting thrown back into the mixer together. Like, could this lead down to a path where they become a fully fledged throuple? Like, are we going to see another attempt at the whole David and Stevie thing, but with another player in the mix? It's, there's a lot to navigate here. And it's so scandalous, and I love it. It's just, I did not expect it.
It's very progressive sitcom in a way that I love. Because then Stevie and David feel like we've caught him in this, like, you know, this is outrageous. We've caught you. Look what you've done. We talk. You're so stupid. You didn't think we'd speak. And then he's like, oh, I just assume you were cool with it. And they're like, oh, no, we totally are cool with it. Yeah, sure. We're modern. We're progressive. And it's like, everyone is going to ever be okay with this. Like, I wouldn't be okay with this. I would never be like, yeah, I'm going to date the same person as my friend. It just feels like you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. Like, one of you is going to be disappointed.
Yeah. I imagine if this was something they were fully comfortable with or was fully anticipating, then at least they wouldn't be kind of playing up, oh yeah, I'm super cool about this, in such a bad way. You'd be like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Yeah, you're right, cool, yeah, this is fine. And like, not approach it or even consider that before approaching him, because like you said, like the way in which he doesn't even hide it, like he kisses Stevie, gets up, kisses David, and then just leaves as if it's the most normal thing in the world. But neither of them consider in that moment that perhaps that's what he's angling for.
Yeah,
they just go, oh, this is just the weirdest situation again.
What the hell is going on here? I think it's Stevie that says that. It's so perfect. And I think beyond the whole thruple confusion and the fact that we're actually getting a storyline for Stevie, which is exciting, this gives us one of the best openings I think that we've had in a good while, where Every rose is coming in and seeing Drake in David's room. And I love Alexis coming in and be like, I thought we agreed that when no one's home. And he's like, no one was home. Like, it's Johnny saying the words afternoon delight. Like, it's everything. Ugh. Moira having a dream about David bedazzling her like journal or notebook or portfolio or whatever.
Dressed like a harlequin.
You're gluing shiny jewels. And then she realizes it was a night terror. Like, the fact that Moira says to Jake, like, oh, if you take care of my son, like, you take care of your physique. It's just, it's everything.
So So cringe. I just, you just then, the moment that Moira walks in and you see that door kind of left open, you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen here. And it was just a matter of time before, like, I was half expecting even more to turn up, like Stevie to walk in with the towels or like,
yeah, there goes Bob walking in randomly. Visit.
Bob just jogs in.
That we were missing a Bob jog this episode. I don't think I saw one. So you got to mark it against the episode.
But yeah. But Alexis was just hilarious. The way she kind of is gawping when she first does it. Mm-hmm. And then also, and then just kind of finds the humor in the moment and then kind of connects with Jake a little bit and then has a bit of a laugh with him as she's kind of being ushered out and David's calling her a predator.
It's perfect because it's not even the only moment we get with Jake and the entire family, because when he's there to see Stevie or pick up Stevie and all the roses are just like watching from afar, and it is so hysterical. And I was saying this to Will the other day that there is something about, oh, which we don't, let me forget to touch on the Emmy stuff. Annie Murphy is kind of queen of cringing. When she cringes, it is like her entire face cringes. And when she's like, oh, David, like it's just so perfect when it's, when the whole awkwardness outside happens. I love it so, so, so much. It's incredible.
There's the scene with, that we'll get onto probably in a moment with Mark, where she kind of does that exact like cringe, kind of just hears something, cringes a little bit, and then just kind of moves on. It's just, I can't replicate it in the same way. It's just, it's brilliant. Annie Murphy's just stellar. Love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so we'll save the Emmy stuff. We'll do it after we finish talking about the episode. But let's talk about Mutt leaving with Tennessee, and Alexis has to take care of the plants. But also, can I just say, like, I think I don't even need to defend myself and my hatred of Mutt at this point. But like, if you go up to someone and two people are wearing scrubs and you say, aren't you calling each other and wearing the same outfit? Get out of here. Get out of here. I hate that joke. That is the same type of joke that someone's like, oh, TGIF, am I right? Like, get out of here. Leave.
It's,
I will not stand for this.
It's bad humor. Like, don't get me wrong. It certainly is bad humor. And I've been trying to defend Matt a little bit recently. I kind of still see the intention here, which I think he's just trying to make a nice little lighthearted joke to kind of alleviate the awkwardness. But still, it's a bad joke. It's like saying to someone that's tall, like, how's the weather up there? It's that kind
I
of
literally
like
was going to say expectation. The exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. It's not funny. It's actively unfunny. And what do we think of Mutt's new look? His hair is like much longer now.
Yeah, he's growing it out, seemingly kind of letting everything grow, but the beard coming back. I don't know why. Mutt just seems smaller. And I'm not sure if that's just the way in which he's playing it. Like, I'm not too sure if, like, he just feels a little less intimidating now that he's
missing
kind
the abs,
of,
I think.
Possibly that. Maybe because he has had a shirt on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's this whole thing of, like, he feels just super defeated whenever I see him. Which I think
probably
is
because he's dating a woman named, what is, now I can't even remember if it's Tennessee or Tallahassee. It doesn't really matter.
I keep wanting to say Tallahassee.
Who cares?
It's Tennessee.
But like, okay, I'm allowed to say this because it's our podcast and I really don't care. This is the most hippy dippy bullshit I've ever heard in my life. We're just going to drive until we see the pine trees. I got a compass at an old flea market, and we're just going to drive until we see the pine trees. Like, get out of here. I am way too type A for that nonsense. I need an itinerary. I need a freaking map. I don't
need a compass that works.
What is this, 1965? get out of here. Like, I can't. Like, it's just like,
why 65?
I don't know. Because it's old. It's old timey.
I don't know why that's really funny to me.
So stupid. I would have had the exact same reaction as Ted and Alexis, where she's just like, oh yeah, we're gonna just drive until we see the pine trees. Like, oh, and you pick the pine cones and you harvest the seeds. Harvest the seeds. I'm sorry, are pine trees like going extinct? Do you need, I feel like pine trees just grow everywhere. Like, why are you harvesting seeds of pine trees?
I don't know. It's just such hippy dippy BS that you mentioned. Like, it really is. Like, I feel like we're being quite mainstream. We're being very normie here. We're ragging on LA. We're ragging on matcha drinkers. And now we're ragging on hippies. Like, what
we're
is
really
this?
We're really alienating everyone.
Gosh.
But you know what? Hippies wouldn't even have a cell phone, so they can't even listen to this podcast anyway.
It's such a freaking Pinterest post of a holiday that you would recommend. Of just, oh, this is,
you know what it is? You know what it is? Modern day Tennessee would be like, we're going to go foraging for mushrooms.
Okay, you say that. I've got friends that do that.
Do they listen to the podcast?
In central London, of all places.
Do they have mushrooms in central London?
They go, yeah, they find like all these little nooks and crannies of green spaces and they go foraging for things.
Can I tell you, I would never do that because I would be so, first of all, I don't like to eat mushrooms anyway. But even if I did like to eat mushrooms, I'd be so nervous that I would accidentally pick the poisonous one and kill myself.
Oh, yeah. That's like, no way, legit risk. But yeah, then you could get the fun mushrooms and have a completely different day.
Maybe that's
either way, you're having a trip, either on your own or to the emergency room.
But Mutt seems miserable during this entire interaction. It's very obvious, like, and this is why I love the small details of the show, where it's purposeful that he does not mention the pine cones when he's talking to Alexis and Ted, and then Tallahassee brings up the pine cones, and so then he's like, oh yeah. And like, she's like, oh, and obviously Tennessee is very upset about Alexis being the one to watch over the place. And he's like, well, you said you didn't like plants. And she's like, I like plants sometimes. It's like, ooh, trouble in paradise, baby. Like, yikes. And I love this entire thing. I love the fact that Ted is like us and type A, and he would not like to do this. And I love the line, tackle the cones. Like, tackle the cones. It's everything to me. And again, I'm just going to plug Parks and Rec for you one more time. There is a very famous Parks and Rec line that has something to do with cones that I will not say to you, but it is iconic. And it makes me think of that when I hear tackle the cones.
Add it to the list. Okay. But Ted going along is hilarious as well, because not only is he kind of really type A and be like, oh, I kind of would want to know what's going on and stuff, he still goes with Alexis to pick up the keys because he is invested in the drama. Like, you can tell that he's just there going, I kind of want to watch this. Yeah. And I think him and Alexis having a little bit of, like, I like their little thing they've got going on here of, like, their friendship, because I like the fact that she is finding ways at work to not work, like doing the app and things like that, and him calling her out on it. They've got a really good kind of like challenging each other almost.
And he seems like he's enjoying, as you would say, like taking the piss. Like, he is very much enjoying this. I love, again, Annie Murphy is a freaking icon. When she's like, thank you for asking, Ted, and here is my answer. My answer starts like, she's delaying saying, and then she gets interrupted by Mutt. It's absolutely perfect. And yeah, I do think Ted is like, I'm here for the drama. Like, he's like, I want to know what's going on. It's perfect. I love this. It feels like realistically, like, almost no time has passed since the last finale, because of mostly the Jake thing, I think, is where we can kind of see it best. But like, their dynamic is so fun because they're on the same page about the hippy dippy bullshit being ridiculous, about tackling the cones.
Yeah, they found some commonality in just how absurd the whole situation is. And the fact that we're now getting to see their relationship with the power dynamic shifting. Because before, the power was all with Alexis. Like, he's the one bawling because she doesn't want to marry him. And now there's a kind of shift in it where she's challenging him and kind of asserting a bit of power in that kind of sense. But he has equal amounts of power because he's her boss. And I think that it's a great way of putting things weirdly on an equal footing for them. Now, a relationship maybe between a boss and an employee is not really a good thing to kind of propose here. But I am seeing the seeds of it. Like, I'm seeing these little things. Get out of here. Don't you dare taint this theory I have.
Are you going to harvest the seeds?
Maybe they might. I don't know. I see something possibly here of just them starting over afresh with almost like level pegging. Like, there's no more him pining after her. Like, there is a kind of equilibrium almost in a way. And I like to see this. I don't know whether it will turn out into anything. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I won't be happy if it ever does because of the kind of the power involved in the relationship. But the dynamic that they have now, I'm loving. So I kind of want to, I'm gonna stick with this for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was much more, we pitied Ted when Alexis was pining for Mutt instead of him and he was suffering. And now they're much more on an, in fact, like, he has more power over her. He's her boss. So it's almost like a nice reversal, although she obviously still holds the, you know, she holds the cards because she's Alexis and she's so self-interested and charming. But yeah, I loved kind of all three storylines in this episode. Like, it's a really good episode and it shouldn't be as good. Premieres, I love a premiere and a finale. I've always said this. I find it so exciting. It's like, we're back. Like, it's exciting. But they're usually not the best episodes of most seasons. And this episode is just so well done. You jump right into it. Everyone has something going on in a way that I really, really love. So yeah, anything else on this episode before we get into some feedback?
The only thing I have to mention is I finally understand Disgruntled Pelican.
Yes!
It took us three seasons.
It's going to take even longer for a lot of the other things. Like, I think there was something that doesn't even come up until season five or something. But
this is torture.
In honor of the Disgruntled Pelican, I did pull this.
Stop acting like a disgruntled pelican. Stop acting.
Does that get played whenever I complain about something?
Yes, and also we have a ratings thing called the Disgruntled Pelican, so I could just anytime, you know, just hey Mutt.
Being like a disgruntled pelican.
You know, this is perfect. 10 out of 10. Disgruntled Pelican has made its appearance and
wonderful.
I love it. All right, let's get into some feedback here. We got a message from Aaron about this episode. Non-stop giggles. Everyone gets a great chance to shine in this episode. And finally, Stewart gets the Disgruntled Pelican. And I love the Aaron tried to send in a pelican emoji, but they only had a dodo bird. We need a pelican emoji. What is the world coming to?
Yeah, we need emojis for animals to exist. Like, dodos are extinct. They missed their chance to get an emoji. Get out of here.
You dodo. You should have lived. Also, Aaron says Jake in general gives me the ick, but that cold open has me on the floor every time. How do you feel about this? Can I get a gauge on how you feel about Jake?
I mean, he's a tall drink of water. Jesus, like that. He's a very good looking lad. But yeah, I think the fact that he wasn't communicative and really kind of like open about talking about it does give me the ick a bit. I'm seeing that completely.
He's almost a more progressive Mutt in a way. Like, he feels like he like doesn't communicate much, but he's like super modern and open. Like, because he looks like he's like a woodworker. Like, he looks like he might be sawing a log in his living room.
Oh no. You just like
he's
giving me the ick, and now you've actually ruined him.
I've amped the ick. Yeah, I've amped up the ick big time. I mean, it's kind of true, though. Like, he is a similar sort of character, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really is similar, like, in the sense that, like, you've got one of the roses pining after them. They are a woodworker, like, Mutt 2.0.
Yeah, they're a woodworker, all right. We also heard from Trish. I think this cold open is so perfect. The chaos of being an adult living in close proximity to your parents and the utter embarrassment of everyone knowing what you've been up to. I think this might be my favorite comedy cold opening.
Yeah, I kind of agree more with that. Like, it's certainly one of the strongest opens that we've had, I think, for the entire season series so far.
Yeah, it's. I think I would die of shame, truly and honestly. I mean, just one person in your family is bad enough without all three members of your family coming in and seeing this.
Yeah. And especially like going into the room where the deed has been done. Like there are certain.
And he's in a towel.
Yeah.
And your mom is commenting on his appearance and your dad is saying the words afternoon delight. Like, don't get me wrong. I love the song Afternoon Delight. I think it is so fun and like a bop. But if my dad ever said the words Afternoon Delight to me, I would die. That's it for me.
I don't think I'm ever going to hear that song and not hear Johnny Rose saying it now.
Oh, Afternoon Delight. It's so perfect. Sky rockets in flight. Boom! It's so good. It's so good. I'm telling you, it's iconic. Yeah, it's a great cold open. But poor David, he didn't deserve this. He did it when no one was home.
I mean, there are ways in which you can kind of ensure. I mean, like how much, like why is that lock between their rooms not working still?
Yeah,
like why are you not barricade it?
Why are you not having sex at Jake's place?
Well, that's the thing as well. Well, no, because he was dropped off by Stevie. So it was just, it just worked out the timings.
Right.
Because he dropped Stevie off at work. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have insisted on going to Jake's place because. Yeah.
Maybe he's got a woodworking project in the living room.
Yeah,
maybe.
He does.
Yeah.
I'm going to always make the joke. I can't not, you know? I really can't.
That's low hanging fruit.
I know.
It's the piling time all over again.
All right, let's get into our ratings. We have our Simply the Best, which you still don't understand, but eventually you will, which is our MVP of the episode. Stuart, who is your pick for MVP this episode?
Okay. Let me think. Who was really good this episode? No one did anything that was particularly good. Great. Like Jocelyn did a very lovely thing in kind of like taking Johnny back. Moira was very lovely, but then also had the town council moment, which wasn't great. I'm really on the fence of like who to give it to. So I'm going to give it to my boy Ted because I'm sorry, but tackle the cones. How can you not give it to him for that?
Yeah, the moment he said the pining pun, he was getting my Simply the Best.
Amazing.
Like the minute he said it, I that was it. That was it for me. It was decided. Mm-hmm. Especially because no one, like you said, no one really has a better moment than that. Moira, I mean, you could honestly, any given episode, Moira can get a point just for being absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Ted is both getting the tea on his ex and like what's going on with her, you know, her ex-boyfriend. And he's making hilarious puns. You know, like, come on. You got to give it to him. I love Ted.
Yeah.
He's going to get both Simply the Best points this week. Amazing. Disgruntled Pelican. I feel like there are two options here. And I'm so torn. And I think I'm going to open this up this time. And I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. And maybe you can convince me one way or the other. Neither one of the people I'm considering giving the Disgruntled Pelican to are main characters. And
I think we're in alignment here.
Yeah. I try to choose a main character because I think it's more fun to like have that person get points over time, you know, get points, lose points over time. Mm-hmm. But except when we have a situation like we did with Bev and Don, where they're so horribly offensive that it's like, nah, you're getting it. You're a disgruntled Pelican this week. I have two contenders here. First up is Amy Grace.
Ding.
Screamnastics is the biggest load of nonsense. Like, what? What? Inner outie, outer beauty connectivity and hyper juicing or what? This is stupid. This is some dumb stuff. Okay. She's annoying. I can't. Amy Grace. Like, don't go, just go with Amy. It's fine. All right. It's
fine. She also shit talks orange juice. Like, yeah, we all know it's got a load of sugar in it. That's why we drink it.
Yeah. Get out of here. So she's on my list. And the other one is Tallahassee. Okay.
Yes.
Because, like, tackle the cones. You're going to go, you're going to drive until you see pine trees. You found a random compass at a flea market and we're like, oh, we're just going to go follow the pine trees. This is some nonsense, hippie nonsense. It's the hippie dippy bullshit for me. I can't. You know what? It's going to be Tallahassee. What is her actual name? Is it Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Thank you. I'll never know. I think I talked myself into this because I really can't with this. It's not, what are you doing? Get a job. I don't mean to be like a boomer or anything, but like actually get a job. Like, what are you doing?
Oh my God. Are we old, Jess?
I've been old, but she's terrible. What is this? What is this? Gonna go tackle the cones.
I had two outlined for this and the two match up exactly. It was Amy Grace and Tallahassee. I want to balance it out and I want to give points to Amy Grace because I feel like that she is deserving of them.
Yeah. She hurt Johnny's feelings.
But I don't know why. She did hurt Johnny's feelings. Yeah, there is that as well.
She made him find the bottom of an olive jar.
But I see her as being almost like Bev and Don light, like Taylor's light.
Yeah.
My parents were devastated
when they heard it. They obviously weren't. They didn't give them a nickel.
Yeah, exactly. Where were they?
Yeah.
So there is that, but I'm going to give it to Tennessee, Tallahassee as well, because there was something about the whole like bickering with Mutt.
It's so embarrassing. Don't do that in front of other people. She really doesn't like Alexis, which is like, Alexis didn't do anything wrong.
Although saying that, Alexis, when she did turn up, just goes, "Hey, you," which I loved so much.
You can't do a "Hey, you" unless it is either someone you're dating or someone whose name you've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only
and
times.
They ain't dating.
Nope. Okay. Well, you know what? To that I say, Tallahassee.
Stop acting like a disgruntled pelican. Stop acting like a disgruntled pelican.
You got two, so there you go.
2 points.
Yeah, mine. Suck it, Tallahassee. I'll never remember which one your name actually is. One, because I don't care, and two, because my brain is actually that broken. So we did get a Moira wig this episode. We got an incredible hat, but no incredible hat.
This great episode. Outfit all together. Like, the whole outfit was just an absolute like power suit of an outfit.
Yes. Yeah, she's an icon. But it is time. We have a clean board for our tier list. Incredible. So, opening night.
Many possibilities.
We have to figure out where this is going to go. I feel like this is a tough one.
This is the toughest one of the entire season because this sets the bar.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Because we say that, we're putting them into tiers, and so we're not necessarily ranking the episodes against each other. Bullshit. We absolutely do rank it on how it compares to the last few episodes.
As is our right.
Yes. Even though we told ourselves we wouldn't. I kind of want to hedge my bet and put it not too high, but I need to respect that it was a really great episode. And also compared to previous seasons, I think that this would be a strong contender in any of those seasons. I think it'd be one of the stronger episodes of either. So I'm leaning full bouquet. What do you think?
That is exactly where I was leaning. Because I was like, if I'm being, what's the word? Hyperbolic. I'm putting it in hot shit because I enjoyed every moment of this episode. However, like objectively, it's not like the absolute top tier that Schitt's Creek can be, but it is still very strong. And like I said, the fact that I enjoyed all three storylines, I think the negatives would be like, okay, I don't really care about Screamnastics and like Amy Grace mm-hmm. and all that. So like, as much as I love Johnny getting to the point where he's having a breakdown because he doesn't feel like he's contributing, I don't really care about the Amy Grace stuff. Moira is, you know, 10 out of 10 perfection always. The thruple stuff is funny, but I don't think it's like the funniest things we've ever seen from David and Stevie, you know. The pine cones, again, 10 out of 10. I wouldn't change a thing. Yeah. So I do think like, I think it belongs in full bouquet. I agree. I think, and I love the photo that you chose also. We get a nice abbed up Jake here. Perfect. Yeah, I think this is where it belongs. I think this is a perfect spot for it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Easiest one we've done, despite building up as if it was the toughest decision in the world.
Yeah. Well, it gets harder from here because then we have to move stuff around and all that. And that's the difficult part.
We'll see how it goes throughout the season, whether or not mm-hmm. it stays in that ranking. Because we have been known to move them because it's our podcast.
And we'll do whatever we want, people.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't tell us what to do.
So combative this episode.
I know. I don't know what it is. I think I'm just high on the fact that Mutt is left town. I think that's
so
I won't tell you if he's coming back. I will not tell you.
I mean, I'm getting the vibe that he's not.
You have to know that no matter whether or not he was coming back, the fact that he was just leaving town in the first place was exciting for me. That he's gone. Wow. Just saying.
Sending him away with a person that we've given 2 LVP points to. Just and you just send them packing. How
exactly.
Dare you.
Take that. that's the tier ranking of the episode. And I think that's all. Is that all we do? I think that's all we
that's
do.
Pretty much all we do. I think we
Well, we talk about the title for the next episode.
Oh yes. What is the title? I think I've been spoiled on this.
Yeah, you've seen it. The Thruple.
Are they? Is it just what people are calling them because they don't understand it and maybe Stevie and David don't have anything involved in each other, or are they going to give it a go? I don't know. I'm going to find out in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I've already seen this episode again because, like I said, I watched a couple ahead, and I'm just every episode is so good. Every episode is so good. I'm really excited to chat about it next week, but you'll all have to wait until next week. Again, don't forget ratings, reviews, subscribe. We're in a new season. We'd like to get some new listeners. So the more people, more eyes, more ears we can get on the podcast, the better. Don't be a disgruntled pelican. Okay. Be cool. Listen, we don't want to be saying,
ew, David.
Instead, we want to be saying,
yay, David. Yay.
Especially if your name is David.
I have too much power. Wait a minute. Yeah. No, we put it in full bouquet. Not love that journey for me. Phew, I didn't miss it. I didn't miss any opportunities here. I know. It would have been a travesty. Anyway, well, that's everything we have. In the meantime, follow us at Talkin' Shit. I'm at the Jess Sterling. Stuart is at Stuart Drinks Tea. That's everything we have going on. So until next week. Oh, and Stuart, you recently. Oh, the Emmys, thank God.
We forgot the Emmys.
We forgot. See, I told you to remind me because I can't be trusted. Okay, let's talk about
that ADHD diagnosis.
Right? Just this pushes me into the edge. I think, you know what it is? I just need to give my doctor/therapist this podcast, like videos of the podcast, and they'll be like, diagnosed. 100%
Wouldn't recommend
diagnosed.
It. Wouldn't recommend it. No, you'll get so many more diagnoses.
Actually, we have a whole list of things that are wrong with you now. Yes, let's talk about the Emmys because Eugene and Dan Levy hosted them. And I didn't watch the Emmys. I will admit, I'm not an awards person. I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care. But I did see clips because I'm on TikTok, as is everyone. And they had the most adorable Schitt's Creek reunion. Stuart, I sent you this clip of Annie Murphy coming on stage, and she's just like, oh, I know you got me here, like this whole bit about her being the most important person. And of course, Catherine O'Hara comes out. It was so sweet and cute, and I loved it so much.
It was wonderful. And not only do they big up Catherine O'Hara as they are kind of should do, but Catherine O'Hara still pulls focus and has one of the best gags of the night where she tears up the nominations, because when she walked out, I saw the thing stuck to her back, and I was like, what the heck is going on there? Is this some kind of weird malfunction? And then it turns out no, she was just bluffing with it. Danny Jean-Levy did a really great job. The opening kind of monologue bit is always a bit cringe. I don't think anyone is ever going to do one of those and not be a bit cringe when it's like two people. I think unless it's one person delivering a monologue. But the bit with Eugene in the different aisle to Dan, where they're talking.
I saw that one, yes.
And at the end, he's like, I can't see the teleprompter, was just iconic. It was such a great joke. And they did fantastically well.
I saw some clips about I really loved like Eugene saying like, oh, my best role has been being your father on Schitt's Creek. Like it was really good. It's obvious they have great chemistry, you know. They did a really good, they had really good back and forth, really good banter, really good chat, if you will. They cracked on. I'm like, the problem, okay, here's the thing. I have one other question for you, Stuart. So I recently got Will to watch Dairy Girls. Which is not British, is Irish. I know this. I'm just throwing that out there that I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Do British people also say things are cracker? Like, oh, that's so cracker.
That's a really like Irish, non-Irish kind of like thing to say. Okay. We don't tend to say it over here. Although since Dairy Girls, I would say that it's not really breached the main kind of vernacular, but I have heard people say it occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great word.
Dairy Girls is, everything is cracker. It's great. Watch Dairy Girls if you haven't. If you're a fan of just like funny show, if you're a fan of anything really, you may need subtitles for the first few episodes because the dairy accent is no joke. Like every word does not sound like what it should sound like. Like the name Aaron is Earn, essentially. So it's so good though. You gotta check it out. Go check out Dairy Girls.
It's phenomenal. And I'm not sure which feed it's on and stuff, but Melissa, who's been on the pod, and Aiden did a fantastic podcast about it as well. So check that out as well if you're doing some podcasting alongside it.
It is, in my opinion, required listening because Aiden is Irish and gives a lot of really relevant background information because the show Dairy Girls takes place at a very important time in Ireland's history in the 90s. And so like having him provide insight into all of that, like, cause it's just little dribs and drabs of stuff you see in the background of the show. And sometimes even a bigger part in the show, it's nice to have that background information. Cause I'm not a history person. I don't know shit. So it was nice to have that. But I do highly recommend Dairy Girls. Stuart, who's your favorite? I need to know. I'm going to judge you.
You and Will asked me this recently, and I told you it's like choosing your favorite kid. It can't be done. But I mean, if I had to add a stretch, it's Orla, because Orla.
Obviously, it's
wonderful.
Orla.
Yeah,
I love her. I love her.
The
so
wee
much.
Lesbian is just fantastic. I love Claire as well.
The wee little lesbian. I love the line that James. I see you could have picked James because he's your fellow British person, but you didn't. I love the line when James. They have like a new teacher, and they're supposed to be like taking out their frustrations, and he goes, "They say everything is wee when it's not even little." He's so mad because everything is wee.
It is. English people don't say it that often, and I'm kind of benefited by the fact that I've got like Scottish family, so like a lot of things are wee and stuff like that, so I'm not as kind of outraged by it, but yeah, English people don't say that.
Wee is so cute though, because it's very similar to, I don't know if this is just Americans or North Americans, but I think we tend to be redundant and say tiny little. Oh, that's a tiny little thing, instead of just saying tiny or little. So it feels the same thing, only but wee is just cuter, you know?
Yeah, it's a very affectionate way of saying things. Yeah.
Yeah.
You wee little crumb socks. Oh, yeah.
Sweet. So anyway, I don't know why we're pitching Dairy Girls, an old show at this point.
Yeah, we've got Emmys, Dairy Girls. Yeah.
Again, it's our podcast and we'll do whatever we want.
Exactly. Stop judging us.
Yeah, please. Okay, well, I think that's everything for this week. So yes. Until next week, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life. VGW Group.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.